I want to share a landlord story with you, and I'm really worried about this landlord. And the reason I am worried about not just this landlord, about the whole subject, is because I'm hearing it more and more often. So I want to try and help as many other landlords out that are in similar situations before somebody gets into serious trouble, if they haven't already. So I met this landlord yesterday, and it was by chance that I found out about this landlord's problem, and they didn't even know that they had a problem. This landlord came to me because they wanted to buy a buy-to-let property. And as you probably already know, I give advice on buying buy-to-let properties. My buy-to-let team go and source buy-to-let properties, and then my lettings team let and manage that buy-to-let property. And also my estate agency team help find those properties as well. So that's how this person came into contact with me. And they contacted me through my podcast, funnily enough. So I spoke to this landlord who said that he wanted to buy another buy-to-let property. So I started talking about what sort of property they were looking for, what sort of budgets they were working towards, types of property they like, what types of tenants they like to aim for, what areas, and all of those things. And then I asked the question, are you a landlord at the moment? And this man said, yes, I'm a landlord. Okay, well, let's talk about your current property. Let's find out what you've got. And it turns out the idea was that he was going to release some of the equity from his existing rental property in order to finance another rental property. Very common, no problem at all, actually. And I just asked him whether his current property was managed by an agent or whether he managed it himself. And look, I'm not going to lie to you, the reason I asked that question is to see if there's an opportunity or a desire for that landlord to be managed by my letting agency. Of course I was going to ask that question. In fairness, he said, no, I manage this myself, I have done for 20 years. Which again is quite a common thing, because 20 years ago, managing a rental property was mainly about just collecting the rent and making sure that the property wasn't falling to bits. Now, a lot of landlords don't actually do that correctly, even that basic management of a property and tenancy. But anyway, that was the thing. So 20 years ago, he got this property, been renting it out ever since, looked after it himself, never had an issue. So I said, all right, look, before we go forward with finding the new property, I just want to make sure that your current property is compliant. I wouldn't be an ethical letting agent if I didn't check that this landlord was doing the right things in the right ways. And it's the reason I do this podcast, it's the reason I do my videos. Look, if you're going to become a customer of mine, then great. But if you're not, then I want to make sure you're getting it right, because there are 176 different pieces of legislation that you've got to follow, and it's even more serious than ever. So if you're a self-managing landlord, you've either got to be set up like a letting agent and do everything a letting agent does, or just use a letting agent. So I just said, look, I'm just going to make sure that your current property is compliant, that you're not at risk with your property. He said, great, all right. So turns out that he has got a gas safety certificate, because his plumber goes round there once a year and gets a gas safety inspection completed. However, this landlord doesn't know if the plumber is qualified to do a gas safety inspection or issue a gas safety certificate. Also, doesn't know whether this plumber is insured to be able to carry out any work. I asked him what level of insurance the plumber has. He said, I don't know. And in fairness to this landlord, he was very honest about this stuff, and he didn't have to be. I think he was a little bit surprised at what level of management he had to do. So anyway, so he said that his plumber goes around, gets the gas safety certificate for him, but he said, I haven't got the gas safety. He just assumes that the plumber does it. So I said, okay, have you issued that gas safety certificate to the tenant? And he said, I haven't. Okay. So I just said to him, listen, you've got to give that to the tenant. That's required. Okay, he's going to do that from now on. Now, bear in mind, I'm not trying to catch him out. I'm just trying to make sure he's compliant. So he promised me he was going to go and do that. And he was going to check the plumber's certifications, accreditations, qualifications, and insurances. I then said about the electrical installation condition report, EICR. Has this landlord got an EICR passed on this property? He said, yeah, I think so. That's the energy thing, isn't it? And I said, no, that's an EPC. I'll get to that in a second. I said, but this is an electrical installation condition report. And he said, I don't think I've got one. That is a definite requirement and you need to get that now. So look, I've connected him with my electrician who's going to go and get this done. But the point isn't that. The point isn't that I can help you, I can solve all your problems. The point is there are a lot of landlords that don't fully know everything they have to do for every single tenancy without fail. So EICR, he didn't have an EICR on this property, which is pretty serious. Not just from a legislative perspective, but also, what if there's an electrical fire at that property and something serious happens to that tenant? That landlord will be in prison for manslaughter. Now that sounds really extreme and I'm trying not to be dramatic. That's what will happen because it's the landlord's fault. It doesn't matter about the electrical installation. The fact is the landlord has a legal responsibility to get that electrical installation inspected and tested. Now, the landlord cannot just plead ignorance and say, I didn't know I had to get that done. Actually, that's probably worse. So the landlord didn't know that they had to get a EICR done. So we're going to sort that out. That's okay. Luckily, nothing has happened up until now. Could have been so much more serious. So I moved on to the Energy Performance Certificate, EPC. And actually, he said, yeah, I'm pretty sure I've got an EPC on this place. Now, the problem is the EPC had a rating of F. The minimum EPC rating required just to let the property is an E. It's probably going to change in the future as well, but it's an E minimum right now, which means he's not allowed to let this property. It's as simple as that. And I told him this, and the guy's face just dropped. Not only does he not know if he's got a valid gas safety certificate, he doesn't have an electrical installation condition report, he doesn't have the minimum required energy performance rating. And what's more is that he's losing money month in, month out. And I'm going to tell you why he's losing money in a second. It's quite important to know this. So, no EICR, not sure about the gas safety certificate, illegal energy performance rating, not looking good. Doesn't have a registered deposit. He got the deposit from the tenant, but doesn't have it registered in the correct way. Just put it in his bank. It's there in his bank. He's kept that deposit, but it's not registered with an approved government scheme. That's pretty serious. The tenant can claim up to 3.5 times the value of that deposit as compensation just for it not being registered properly. Doesn't matter whether the landlord still got it. Doesn't matter what the landlord does now. The tenant is entitled to 3.5 times that compensation. And all they have to do is ask. They don't have to go to court. They don't have to do anything like that. They just have to ask. They could go to an ombudsman. They could go anywhere and just say, my tenancy deposit wasn't registered properly. I want 3.5 times. Oh, and by the way, you get 3.5 times compensation and you've got to give the deposit back as well. Ugh. So it's actually 4.5 times. Anyway, so that's a pretty serious issue. Now, on the financial side, this is where it gets even worse. This property has been let for £900 a month. Now, it should be £1,300 a month. That's the minimum rent value for that property. And I just said to him, I said, how come you don't use a letting agent? And he said, well, you know, letting agents take 10% of the rent and it's too much money. I don't want to pay a letting agent. And I said, fair enough. I said, but you've been charging this tenant £900 a month, but you should be getting 13. A letting agent would be keeping your rent at the higher value. So actually, you might be paying a letting agent £100 a month to fully manage everything, but you're losing 400. And he thought, quite rightly, he said, oh yeah, didn't think of it like that, he said. He said, but I don't want to increase the rent because the tenant's been there ages. I don't want to lose the tenant. And I said, but that's what a letting agent does. First of all, they get you the right rent with the existing tenant, or they get you the right rent with a new tenant. That's what letting agents do. They let properties and they manage properties. And he said, all right, I'll increase the rent. And I said, all right, well, do you know how to increase the rent? And I, look, it sounds like I'm being a dick, but I was just trying to make sure he does it correctly. And I hope people listening to this or watching this can see that what my agenda was yes, of course, I want him to become a customer of my business. Of course I do. I'm a businessman. I own a business which needs customers. But if he wasn't going to come on board and he was going to carry on doing it himself, then of course I want him to get it right. I don't want him to just go and harass the tenant and increase the rent incorrectly, because that would just get into more problems. But charging less in rent is more of a problem than just losing money per month. Because if something goes wrong with that property, he's not making any money in order to solve those problems. If he gets sued by the tenant, then he's not making enough money to be able to pay that tenant off, pay that tenant back over time. So there are some serious problems coming up here. If that property needs repairs or maintenance, he's not making any extra money to be able to pay for those things, to keep the property in good condition so that the tenant's comfortable and happy. And he said to me, he said, yeah, but they're a good tenant, so I don't want to increase the rent. And I said, again, I'm trying not to be a dick here, but I think you'll see the logic behind this. I said, look, you're saying that you don't want to charge the correct rent because they're a good tenant. But the tenant would never say, I want to pay the higher rent because they're a good landlord. No tenant would ever say, I've got a good landlord, I'm going to pay them more each month. But for some reason, landlords say, I've got a good tenant, I'm going to charge them less. It's a really weird way of seeing things. And it's just like giving that tenant money. It's like giving them a few £100 a month. Here you go, here's a few £100 a month. Take it, enjoy it. Again, vice versa, no tenant is going to voluntarily give a landlord extra money, no matter what. So there are a lot of problems going on here. And now this landlord wants to buy another property, manage it themselves, and probably double their risk. So let me just tell you what happens nowadays. And again, 20 years ago, this wouldn't have been a problem. No one would have even noticed or cared. As long as the tenant's there and paying rent, doesn't matter. But now, it's much more serious. 50 times more serious. So what happens now is, if the council discover that you are a landlord of a property, they are now more inclined to go and inspect that property themselves. Also, if the tenant ever makes any kind of complaint or inquiry about their rights as a tenant to the council will get round there and inspect. And the reason they do that is because the council now get to keep 100% of any fine or penalty they issue to a landlord. So it's a revenue stream for the council now. That's why many councils have set up little task forces to go round and make money out of landlords that are non-compliant. So it's becoming really serious, and the councils are out to get you, Mr. and Mrs. Landlord. They might not have found you yet, but they will find you. It's really serious. And then there's the risk of not being compliant, because we know we are in a blame culture. If something happens to your tenant and they are no longer able to work because they've had an injury, well, the council aren't going to want to pay out benefits to that tenant. They're going to want to get that money, and they're coming after you. So I go back to the EICR thing. That landlord hasn't got an EICR. And if something goes wrong, if there's an electrical fire or something goes wrong with the appliances, the tenant's electrocuted for some reason, because the electrical installation has not been inspected and passed, then who are they coming after? And if that goes to court, you probably will get fined, but you'll probably end up prosecuted. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. Well, I kind of am trying to scare you, but I'm not trying to scare you into becoming a customer of mine. I'm actually trying to make sure that as many landlords as I can help are doing it in the right way. That's really important to me. And I hope that you think, you know what? I can see what you're saying, Tom. And the value of having a letting agent on board far outweighs doing it myself. Even, you know, not just in the getting the right rent every month, but also keeping you compliant and avoiding the fees and charges and costs and penalties and fines that you might incur. So all of those things are all leading towards saying this final piece. And this is my summary here, I suppose. Landlords, if you're going to self-manage your own properties, good luck to you. And if that's what you want to do, you've got to set yourselves up like a letting agency. Think of it like that. But if you're not set up like a letting agency, just use a letting agent. You think it costs you 10%, but if you think about it in this landlord's example, what would you rather do? Pay out 10%, but make an additional 30%, or put yourself at high risk and not make any more money? I mean, that's a no-brainer, I expect. But use a letting agent. Don't know why anybody would want to self-manage in this landlord environment, landscape. So look, I'd be silly if I didn't say use my letting agency, but if you don't want to use my letting agency, there are plenty of good letting agents out there. I'm happy to introduce you to a good letting agent if you're out of my area. But either way, use a letting agent. And lastly, if you're going to carry on and do it yourself, make sure you're listening to my videos, subscribe to my videos, and write down what I'm saying. I've done a podcast and a video, and I do regular webinars called Everything You Need for Every Tenancy Every Time. In fact, the webinars are probably the best because that's much more visual. I put links to downloads in that webinar as well. So if you want to join that webinar next time I run it, then just message below, or I'll put a link so you can message me in some way. Just get in contact with me. tom@sonegroup.co.uk is my email address. But either way, if you want to join that webinar, contact me. That's Everything You Need for Every Tenancy Every Time. If you want to just watch the video, go onto my YouTube channel, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and just search Tom Soane, Everything You Need for Every Tenancy. But either way, do something. It's not like the old days. You have to have these things in place. Otherwise, you'll either end up in jail, skint, or in serious trouble. All right, that's a pretty harsh story, isn't it? I hope you liked it, and I hope you're going to take action. Either way, good luck to everyone. See you soon.